Welcome to the REORC Primary Review, where we cover the latest developments in high yield, distressed debt, and bankruptcy, and feature discussions on issues affecting distressed debt, leveraged finance, direct lending, high yield bonds, high yield municipals, covenants, private credit, and middle market companies. I'm David Zupkis. We're taking a brief recess from the Primary Review interview series this week, but we'll be back next week with our regularly scheduled dose of industry-leading discussions on leveraged finance and more. And as always, we bring you our weekly summary of interesting developments in the restructuring world, as well as a preview of what's on tap for next week. It's Monday, April 29th. For in-court coverage this week, we take a look at the Wee Company, Mallinckrodt, Change Street Group, and Joanne Stores. Also, the FCC votes to reinstate net neutrality. This week, REORC published an analysis of recoveries under WeWork's amended plan after the co-working space provider filed a valuation analysis, financial projections, and liquidation analysis. The plan incentivizes first and second lien claim holders to provide new money in order to boost their recoveries, since providers of $400 million in new money would receive 80% of reorganized equity prior to dilution from a management incentive plan. Last Thursday, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit unanimously affirmed a November 2021 bankruptcy court ruling that Sanofi's future Acthar royalty claims were subject to discharge in Mallinckrodt's first Chapter 11 case. According to the opinion, Sanofi's royalty claims were dischargeable because they arose under a pre-petition contract, even though the debtor's payment obligations would continue to be triggered post-petition and post-confirmation. Jane Street Capital says it intends to withdraw its request for preliminary and permanent injunctive relief barring Millennium Management and former employees Douglas Schotterwald and Daniel Spottiswood from continuing to trade Indian options. According to a letter filed on Tuesday, Jane Street will proceed solely on its monetary damages claims after U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer expressed doubts about the firm's injunction requests and suggested an accelerated injunctive relief trial in July. Judge Craig Goldblatt confirmed the Joanne debtor's prepackaged plan during a consensual hearing last Thursday, 38 days after the fabrics and craft retailer's Chapter 11 filing. The debtors said they aim for the plan to go effective by Tuesday, April 30th. On Thursday, the Federal Communication Commission voted 3-2 to restore the agency's authority to oversee broadband internet providers as public utilities and implement net neutrality regulations. The net neutrality rule, which will prevent broadband providers from engaging in blocking, throttling, and paid prioritization arrangements while establishing broad tailored forbearance in the agency's applications of the rule so as to forego rate regulation and requirements related to network unbundling, is slated to come into effect 60 days after its publication to the Federal Register. iCare Partners, 2U, and Alcogen ran out this week's crop of near-term restructurings and refinancings and new advisor mandates. iCare Partners' two-phase debt exchange seeks to reduce cash interest, extend debt maturities, and raise new money while simultaneously delevering as the company faces a liquidity crunch. The company expects to save $125 million of annual cash interest through 2026 from the first phase of the exchange and $65 million in annual interest through the second phase, assuming full participation, according to sources. Sources note that the new credit agreements are significantly tighter than the pre-transaction ones, which have been stripped of covenants. Online education provider 2U is working with advisors as it prepares for potential debt restructuring, likely through a Chapter 11 filing. The company faces a series of problems, including a going concern warning, springing maturities, potential covenant breaches, and the impact of its financial struggles on operations. An ad hoc group of Alcogen bondholders has organized with advisors. Separately, another ad hoc group of holders of Alcogen's term loan, secured notes, and unsecured notes is seeking to engage the company on a transaction to boost liquidity, refinance near-term maturities, and deleverage the business through a potential discounted debt up-tiering. Top Bread stories this week included litigation coverage. Buckingham claimants asked district court to certify Bestwall dismissal ruling for direct Fourth Circuit review. High-yield primary activity remains robust despite macro uncertainties. Hertz amends credit agreement to allow operating flexibility over the next 12 months due to potential macroeconomic volatility. And now here's Kate Thomas from New York with The Week Ahead.
Welcome to The Week Ahead. My name is Kate Thomas, and here are a few highlights from the upcoming week. A longer schedule of hearings can be found under America's Week Ahead on the REORC website. On Monday, the WeWork debtors have a very contested hearing on conditional disclosure statement approval and extensions of their exclusive plan filing and solicitation periods. The debtors face stiff opposition from the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors, co-founder and former CEO Adam Newman, landlords, and the ad hoc noteholders group, who have all raised concerns regarding the debtor's liquidity and sale process. On Tuesday, in the Robert Shaw Chapter 11, former controlling lender Invesco asks the bankruptcy court to abstain or transfer venue of Invesco's state court suit challenging the December 2023 transaction that eliminated Invesco's required lender status and handed control over the company's restructuring to ad hoc group members Bain, Canyon, and Eaton Vance. On Wednesday, in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, is slated to hear oral arguments in a challenge to the Medicare Drug Price Negotiation Program enacted under the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The appeal is brought by a group of plaintiffs, the National Infusion Center Association, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, and the Global Colon Cancer Association, that lost on the government's motion to dismiss their complaint in the lower court. Also on Wednesday, the Wesco and Cora trial on the validity of the debtor's 2022 up-tier transaction before Judge Marvin Isker is set to start up again for days 25, 26, and 27 of trial. Rounding out the week, we have two final DIP hearings, one in Enviva on Wednesday and the second in Acorda Therapeutics on Friday. The Enviva debtor's $500 million DIP facility is opposed by the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors, which says that it is a sub rosa plan intertwined with the debtor's restructuring support agreement and should be delinked. The Acorda Therapeutics debtors are also facing Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors opposition to their $60 million DIP, which consists of $20 million in new money financing and a $40 million roll-up and is provided by members of the ad hoc convertible noteholder group. The committee is pushing for a reduction of excessive fees for ad hoc noteholder group members serving as DIP lenders. That's it for now. For more on the week ahead, check out America's Week Ahead on the REORG website and have a great week.
Thank you again for tuning in to the REORG Primary Review and our Weekly Review. Find all our podcasts on the REORG.com webinars and podcast page, as well as Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Amazon. Take care and see you all next week.